Oh, hey there, Ghostbuster fans. Welcome to Why We Bust, a weekly show where we look at the Ghostbuster cosplay community across the world and we ask individuals the burning question that's on everybody's mind. Why do you do what you do? This show is powered by Memoriam Development, the Windy City Ghostbusters, and viewers like you. So turn that pack off, shut your trap, and take the night off and enjoy Why We Bust.
All right. Hello, everyone. The Windy City Ghostbusters are excited to present the preeminent show focused on the charitable side of ghostbusting. We're meeting the incredible people from all over the world that dress like khaki-covered exterminators and lug around 30-pound magic backpacks, all in the name of putting smiles on faces and helping people. And, you know, we're here to find out what makes them tick, as Dr. Beckman would say, and see if they can answer the question about why we bust. I am your host, Patrick Calvert, and joining me, as always, is the central nervous system to the Windy City Ghostbusters, ensuring we're broadcasting loud and clear over Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube, pretty soon all of the major podcasting apps like Apple, Spotify, and Stitcher. It's James Norman. James, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, how's it going?
It is going here. It's Thanksgiving week. Always gets a little busy in my house. I'm the cook, so got to figure out how to put together the meal. But we're not doing a lot of hosting. We're keeping it small this year. But still, you know, it takes a little bit of effort to get it all on the table. So I have that's looming over me. My wife reminded me right before we went live that when we're done here, I have a grocery list I need to get out for because I have meetings tomorrow morning. So Thanksgiving is going to be in full swing here soon enough. And do you stay local for Thanksgiving, James?
Yeah, we're just going to our friend's place in Elmhurst. So
very fun. Yep, great. Thanksgiving is one of my favorites. And also, you know, on the show today, we have two guests. We've got a two in the box kind of day here at Why We Bust. Our main guest of the day is going to be Jason Smith from the 7. Do you call it the 731 or the 731 Ghostbusters?
731. Yeah, it's our area code.
Ghostbusters. Yep, I figured it was the area code, but wasn't sure exactly whether how you guys were throwing it out there. So 731 or 730, I can't talk, the 731 Ghostbusters, based out of Sumner, Tennessee. We're going to talk to Jason for the majority of our show. Also joining us, special guest Steve Sandrowski, former president of the Windy City Ghostbusters and our charity liaison here at Windy City Ghostbusters. And he's going to share a little bit about the Windy City Ghostbusters toy drive that's going on. But first, I'm going to take a second stab at a segment I started last week called This Week in Ghostbusters History. And I went through, and not as much happened this week as last week, but still a few things. One, we forgot, James, it was Harold Ramis's birthday at the end of last week. So I wanted to make sure we did bring that up. He was born November 21st, and that also makes him the oldest of the original Ghostbusters. I think everyone always talks about, and Steve and Jason, feel free to, you're always welcome to chime in. You don't have to stay quiet when I'm doing this either. But we always talk about how great Ernie Hudson looks for his age. So my brain always goes to he's been the oldest Ghostbuster, or he is the oldest Ghostbuster, but Harold Ramis has him by a year there, coming in November 21st, 1944. And yesterday was the 20th anniversary of Dan Aykroyd's Christmas classic, Christmas with the Cranks. He starts off as a bit of a villain and winds up being a lifesaver. There's a spoiler. I figure 20 years, we're allowed to spoil a little bit towards the end of those movies. But that's one that it took a little while for that to grow on me, but it's become an annual watcher in our house. I think my nostalgic spot in my heart for Tim Allen and watching Home Improvement as a kid sort of brings that one a little bit higher up in my Christmas list than it might be in others. Are you guys familiar? Have you guys seen Christmas with the Cranks?
I haven't, no.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. Well, understandable, but visually, it's got a lot of Christmas in there. And if you are someone that likes to put a lot of lights up on the outside of your house, you can get a lot of tips from the different ways people are decorating their houses in that movie. Also, we got a couple more things. November 27th, 1991, another Dan Aykroyd movie. Anybody want to make a stab? What came out on November 27th, 1991? It's My Girl with Dan Aykroyd. And that's one that I've never seen because I knew it was supposed to have a real sad ending. And so I just never, I've never been in the mood to be sad enough to watch it. But my wife loves it. So have you guys seen My Girl?
That I've seen. And My Girl too.
And My Girl too, yeah. And I believe the star, is it Anna Chlumsky is the star? She's from... I think my hometown. So it was, everyone always talked about it when it came out, but I never saw it. And then last thing on This Week in Ghostbusters History, because I looked, man, went back and all the way to 1984 looking for any headlines and newspapers, and just not a lot going on this week. But on November 27th, 2008, Atari announced that they were joining forces with Terminal Reality to bring the long-awaited Ghostbusters, the video game, to fruition. That kind of had lingered there with Terminal Reality trying to get somebody to put in some financial backing there, and Atari stepped to the plate, and that remains the only video game post Nintendo 64 that I've ever purchased. And I loved it. I played it. I beat it in about a week, and then when my roommate and I didn't live together, I no longer had an Xbox, so I haven't played it since probably about 2009. But did you guys grab that when it came out?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Multiple
copies of the remaster too. I have multiple copies of both versions of that game.
I think I've got the Switch version. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Which one had the kind of more animated cartoon style?
The Wii version. PlayStation 2.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. That was the end of the drought. I mean, that was 1989 until 2009. You know, there was not a lot to go on other than a cameo in Casper. But I remember really trying to get my roommates at the time. I think I was living with four other people to understand the weight of having all four original Ghostbusters and everybody back in the voice cast there. And I think didn't get anybody else to really get too excited. But you know, I didn't have the Windy City Ghostbusters. I didn't have this crew of people that were also kind of carrying the torch for me, but I loved that game. I had a lot of fun with that game. And it's still influential. Tons of folks in our group have some modifications based off of that game. Jason, I'm not sure if you see the same out by you, but
oh, not from the, well, we have not as full as most. You'll take bits and pieces, like, yeah. Some I've seen the life meter, I guess, or the overheat meter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen a few of those, but
yeah, so it's crept its way into people's hearts and minds as kind of the third chapter in Ghostbusters, I think. And so that is all I could find for this week in Ghostbusters history, but some fun stuff in there, and always good to at the holidays. It's nice to see Christmas with the Cranks pop up there. I still think the number one Dan Aykroyd holiday movie is Trading Places on there. So that one's still, I mean, if you grew up in the 90s, that was on Comedy Central constantly.
Go with Ghostbusters too.
And so is Ghostbusters too. So it was, that was one that has been around for quite a while, but
Coneheads. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Coneheads. That was on Comedy Central all the time. Yeah.
Yes, sir. That Coneheads, mm-hmm. Airheads. But yeah, that's a whole nother podcast of just the movies that people only know because they were on Comedy Central for the duration of the 90s. But so thank you everybody for taking a peek back in history with me. And before we get officially to Jason's interview, Steve, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you're all over the place, all across the country these days. And I wanted to make sure that we had a chance to talk about the upcoming or the current Windy City Ghostbusters 2024 toy drive. So if, I know you're kind of spearheading that effort. So if you wouldn't mind kind of give everybody a bit of an overview of what it is and how they can help.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as I know has been discussed on here before, here at with Windy City Ghostbusters, our primary charity of choice is the La Rabida Children's Hospital. And La Rabida does a lot of work with lower income families. They do a lot of work with specialty case children. And we at the team, from its inception forward to today, have really kind of grasped on to what they do. And we've been very lucky and privileged to have grown our relationship with the hospital to the point of us doing frequent visits every other month to the hospital to visit the kids. So my role now as charity liaison is to basically be the intermediary between the Windy City Ghostbusters and any of our charitable partners, primarily the Children's Hospital. So about three years ago, this is our third one. So 3 years ago, we did our very first toy drive in conjunction with the Children's Hospital. We found out that every Christmas season, they look for toys and gifts to be donated to their patients and their families. And we really were like, let's do something about this. At the time, I was the team president. So that was something that I personally spearheaded and pushed for the team to really get into. And we were successful that first year. I believe we raised about 1,000 toys that first year, which is phenomenal. Last year, we continued to grow what we did, and we were able to donate 1,300 toys, plus a very sizable check to the hospital as well. This year, my goal is to fully surpass that on all metrics, and I believe we will be able to do it. We are in 12 locations, 12 public-facing locations across the Chicagoland area that range from comic book shops to collectible stores, as well as two individual donation events, which I can get into a little bit, at Rocket Pro Wrestling and at the Wonderverse. And that's not including private boxes in private places of business that have also agreed to have boxes in for their personal staff. So we're in a really great place this year. We're doubling the number of boxes out this year than we that's had awesome. Last year, which is phenomenal. So we're on paper right now. Everything is really great. And I'm insanely excited about the prospects for this year.
Absolutely. And if anyone is looking for specific locations where those drop boxes are, head on over to the Windy City Ghostbusters Facebook page or any of our social media. We do have a listing of where you can find those drop boxes. And Steve, you mentioned a couple special events that we're doing this year with the a focus on the toy drive. Could you get into a little bit of what those two events are and if there's any rules or benefits to, you know, bringing your toy to one of those events?
Yeah, of course. So in addition to the 12 locations all across the Chicago area, ranging from the northern suburbs all the way to the southern suburbs, we have Rocket Pro Wrestling on December 7th. My job, my actual profession outside of doing this with the team is I'm a professional wrestler. So the main company that I work for in the Chicago area is a company called Rocket Pro Wrestling, based out of Joliet, Illinois, at St. Joseph Park. It's a family-friendly, family-owned company, and they have treated me very well from the start. And when I first came up with this idea of us doing this toy drive with the hospital a couple years back, they immediately said, you guys can have December, and you guys can make our event a donation drop-off point.
That's great.
Yeah, so they've been a partner with us since the start, and they keep wanting to grow it and make it better. Rocket Pro accounts for a good 15% of the toys that we receive.
Awesome.
It's phenomenal, the turnout that the, not just the fans, but the staff and the wrestlers themselves donate to this drive. So we will be collecting toys at Rocket Pro Wrestling. The show itself is ticketed. And for any wrestling fans watching, TNA superstar Joe Hendry will be appearing at the show facing NWA's Marche Rocket in the main event. So it's going to sell out. Tickets are only available at the door. So if you want to be a part of this, please get there early. But also, if you just want to swing by and donate a toy, you are more than welcome to stop by the arena, donate a toy, and get a picture with the Ghostbusters. We will have a team of us there collecting, taking photos, and raising money as well. And with the raising of the money there, anyone that donates either toys or makes a cash donation or digital donation will receive a raffle ticket. And what this raffle ticket will do is you will then, at the end of the night, be entered into getting a RPW prize basket. And in that basket, Ooh. It will have, I've talked with some of the wrestlers on the card. What you're going to have is, obviously, I'm donating a couple of my Steve Michaels shirts, stickers, buttons, and a signed 8x10. You'll also have professionally printed and signed photos from past RPW events that have been donated by our show's photographer, and is getting them signed by our talent. You will also, there's also other wrestlers that have committed to donating shirts and merchandise to this as well. But the big thing is, as the RPW heavyweight champion, the winner of this raffle, will also get a post-show photo with me, professionally done by our staff photographer, on the ramp of Rocket Pro Wrestling.
Oh, that's awesome.
So there's a lot of incentive to bring toys and to donate there. Yeah. So that, again, that's December 7th. Doors there are 4 p.m. So if you're in the Joliet area, if you're in the Southwest suburbs, please come out to that.
And you can't ask for a way to bring more eyes to our event at the moment in the wrestling world than Joe Hendry showing up there. So it will be a packed house, and that's got to be exciting for you, just knowing you're going into a show that's going to, you know, whatever their normal crowd is, you're probably going to get an uptick of, you know, an extra 25% probably, just from that name alone. That's exciting to always go out in front of a charged, sold out crowd like that. I'm sure
it's exciting. I know the arena is they're looking at ways to reconfigure seating to try and
that ramp might get a little shorter.
Yeah, they're definitely looking at, they understand that this is going to be a sellout, a bigger sellout than usual. So I'm looking forward to that. Everyone's looking forward to that. Most importantly, I'm really looking forward to what we can do for the hospital and for La Rabida with the Windy City Ghostbusters.
Absolutely. That's a huge win for the team. And thank you, Steve, for all you've done to make that connection with the folks over at Rocket Pro, and donating, you know, your time and talent to help kind of sweeten the pot there as well. That's a big deal. And if you, again, need information on that show, you can go to Rocket Pro's website. Do you have the website off the top of your head?
I don't. You can look Facebook up Rocket Pro Wrestling on Facebook and find everything you need about that event.
Perfect.
And then we do have one more event as well, which will be at the Wonderverse, the Sony Wonderverse in Oak Brook, on December 15th from 10 to 1 p.m. This one is they're doing a breakfast with the Ghostbusters, which is a hard ticketed event. And at that event, we will also be having Santa Claus appearing. And Santa Claus is luckily a fan of the Ghostbusters.
Oh, great.
So Santa will be there taking photos for us and taking photos with the children. It will be a $10 donation. If I'm remembering that correctly, Jim, you can correct me if I'm off on numbers here.
I think so. I honestly don't know.
That was what I heard last.
Yeah, I'm not directly coordinating that event. That's a Bob Anderson coordination. But from what he has told me, it will be a $10 donation to get your photo taken with Santa. And all of that money will also go directly to La Rabida Children's Hospital, as well as it being a donation drop-off point for toys as well. So if you want to bring a toy as well, we'll also be collecting there. And December 15th will be our last day of collection. So that's really a nice way to end our donation season for the hospital.
Bob says it's $10 or a new wrapped toy.
Okay, perfect.
Unwrapped toy, I think, is what he means.
Yeah, yeah. So that's perfect. So if you make a $10 donation, or if you bring a toy to this drive, drop off, you'll get your photo with Santa. And not only are you making your kids happy, you're making some kids who are not in as good of a boat have a good time as well and have a good Christmas as well. And that's what this holiday season's really about.
Right.
You know, I know our whole team believes in giving back to our community. That's really why we do this, right? So being able to do something that's this impactful at the holiday season, there's nothing greater. When we roll up to the hospital with a truck full of toys, with an Ecto overflowing with bags of toys, and the staff's eyes just light up because they're like, oh my gosh, we're able to now, you know, a lot of people don't know this. And I just want to explain this to everyone listening so they understand kind of how this works. So the hospital doesn't necessarily give everything out just at Christmas time. They receive so many toys from us that they don't have enough families to give everything at once, which is an amazing problem to have. So what they do is throughout the year, they will give out toys. If a child has a rough visit, they'll be like, hey, you were so good through this. Let's go to the box and you can pick something out. And I've seen kids who've left there with the tear streaked faces, but they're smiling because they're carrying a brand new toy out. And it's something that, you know, we collected for them. And if they get a new patient, an inpatient that they know is going to be there a while, what they'll do is they'll preload their room with toys and say, hey, we know you're going to be here for a bit. Here's a whole bunch of new stuff for you to kind of make you feel at home. So everything that we collect goes, you know, if it's not given out at Christmas, it's impacting the kids throughout the year. And that's just as important.
Absolutely. And Steve, can you... If you don't know, totally understandable, because I'm throwing something on the spot at you, but are there any gaps as far as when people are...
We didn't prepare them for hydrate.
Sorry about that. Yeah. But are there any gaps as far as typical age ranges or types of toys that people might not always be thinking about getting? And I don't know if it's... Because, you know, La Rabida is dealing with, you know, children of all ages, literally. So, you know, it, you can't give a 6 month old a Barbie doll kind of thing. So do you happen to know if there's any areas that if somebody can focus on, they might be able to contribute to a gap in the system?
Absolutely. I actually do know the answer to this.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
So it's one of, it was a conversation I had with our hospital contact last Christmas. And also when we collect all the toys, I literally bring all of the boxes back to my house and they go into my spare room and I sort everything. So I'm also able to then know, okay, well, we only have, you know, a little bag of this and we have a ton of this. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things that they need are STEM toys. They have a lot of kids that require things like the poppers or the spinners and the Play-Dohs and things like that. And they often get forgotten about unintentionally just because everyone's looking at, okay, let me get this action figure or that. Those are huge things that the hospital always looks forward to. I remember last year we had a bag of it and the staff freaked out because they were like, oh my gosh, you know, we don't ever have enough of these.
Yeah, and when you're talking about what they can give out, not at Christmas time too, kids having a hard time, what will distract them, a little bit, and that's awesome. I'm glad you said that because that's something that I've been meaning to find out for a while. So
that's a huge thing, as well as books. They're always they're not on the list, but they are always welcoming books. Mm-hmm. But I mean, everything's obviously welcome, but those are probably the two areas that most needed, as well as baby items, infant and newborn items, because they truly do deal with children as small as newborns.
Yeah.
And they've got them in their intensive care units, and so their parents will need things as well. Mm-hmm. And again, there's a lot of lower income families that just can't necessarily afford the monitors, that can't afford those kinds of things. So those are always extremely welcome as well.
That's great. And I'm glad you brought that last part up too. Does not have to be a toy, but if it can benefit a family of a child, that can go a long way too. So there are just so many avenues to go, and I'm so excited for what we've got coming up here over the next few weeks, Steve. And thank you so much for helping to spearhead all of this and to help coordinate it. And that, you know, as last year was my first Christmas with the Windy City Ghostbusters, and I felt so much pride when I saw the results of what we did over the year, and when I saw the results of that toy drive. And Jason, I you're probably not following the Windy City social media on a daily basis, but we had the Ecto-1 New Jersey in Chicago at the Wonderverse last year, and it was so fun. They let us load some of those toys into the back of the Ecto and take some pictures around that and help kind of promote the toy drive there. So it was, I felt so much pride with, you know, in what we do. And I felt so good for the folks at La Rabida. And that's such a cherished partnership. And thank you for helping develop that and keep that going strong. So absolutely. Steve, this is great.
And if I could just say one more thing, cause it's, sure. You know, I'm the face of this drive de facto as the charity liaison. But there's a lot of moving parts behind me that are making this work. I have a whole team of members, general members, that have all happily stepped up to get boxes into locations, reach out to businesses and all that in order to help make this run and function, because I'm only one man.
Yeah.
And then, you know, again, with the leadership allowing me and allowing my team the freedom to to kind of just run and do the things that we need to in order to make this successful. You know, it's, this is truly a group effort. I can accept only so much of the kudos for this. As like I said, I'm just one cog in this very intricate machine that, you know, even the team, I don't think sees how deeply it functions in order to get this to work.
Yeah, absolutely. I am, you know, I'm a bit, you know, ignorant as far as, you know, I joined and we had just become a 501c3. A relationship with Lauerbeet is already there. So much of this growth, you know, just, I think it's easy for me to take for granted that it's there and that we have these great opportunities to give back. And Steve, I just want to thank you again, and you are welcome to stay, but I understand if you have to run, you are welcome to come back, give us updates a little closer to the event if you'd like, or if there's anything you want to make sure that we're sharing, you know, let us know and we'll make sure we get it out here on the Why We Bust show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on. I don't want to take any more time from Jason. I appreciate I appreciate him coming on and talking on this show as well to talk about everything that they're doing, and all the great work that they're doing with their team. So I'm gonna bow out and let the floor go straight to you. But thank you again for having me on. It was a true privilege.
Absolutely, Steve. Thank you so much, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks, you too.
All right, take care. And that's awesome. There's so many reasons to get excited this time of year, and this is being a part of a team that is putting that together. I feel a lot of pride. So I'm thankful to Steve for joining us, and I'm excited to see where things go here at the end of the year. And you know, and Jason, you know, what we're talking about here in some of these relationships that we're building, I'd like to hear about, you know, you all with your team at 731, as I know you're working really hard to keep building, because you're a relatively new team. Windy City Ghostbusters has about, you know, 10 years advantage on you guys. So what I know of Selmer is that it's somewhere between Memphis and Nashville, or at least, you know, if you're drawing a diagonal line, but you're pretty close to the Mississippi border. Tell us a little bit about your area and how you got yourself involved in all this.
Well, my area is known for two things. It's Buford Pusser from Walk It Tall fame.
Oh yeah.
Back in the '90s, The Rock had, or early 2000s, The Rock did a remake or something. Mm-hmm. And Mary Winkler, the woman that shot her preacher husband in the back while he was sleeping. So as far as my area, that's it. So as far as us, this is our second year, and I've got to say our first year just catapulted us. I mean, we went from like five events to getting pretty close to falling out 20 for the year.
Great job. 15 to
20, and that's counting the last three parades, because we're going to go out with a parade for the year, and we'll – as far as I know, I think we're starting back in March, what we call March Madness at that time. every weekend in March, we've got a convention to go to. And that's really our crunch time, because our charity is the Carl Perkins Prevention of Child Abuse Superhero Day. It's a free event that happens every last Saturday here in Selmer at the Civic Center. And it's free to the community. We have children get to come. They get little safety cards, which one side is safety information. The other side, it's like a baseball card for some of the cosplayers. Games. They get free toys. They get free wands. They have Harry Potter workshops. They meet all their superhero friends and heroes. Autistic kids. We have quiet rooms for them. So if they need to take a break and step out of something, We have rooms dedicated directly for that. And it's all charity funded. Now we've done other charities like Lebanon's Children's Hospital Loves has asked us this year to come down and do a day for them. So we did that. But yeah, for as small as we are, we've got a pretty big footprint for our second year.
That's I mean, you know, 400% growth. That's a not a bad not a bad way to usher in your second year there. And the Carl Perkins Annual Superhero Day. Is Carl Perkins from your area?
Let's see. Okay, there's that Memphis, the Delta Blues kind of thing. Yeah. Elvis Presley, Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash, all those guys that did the famous Sun Studio. He's got the actual Carl Perkins Center is in Jackson, Tennessee. That's about 30 minutes up the road from us.
Okay.
And then each county has its own field office. And then the Superhero Day falls underneath the McNary County field office.
Gotcha. Okay. I understand now. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. That's, I was going to say, if Carl Perkins was from Selmer, you got to add him to your list of things you're known for. Out there. Well,
now we do have about 20 minutes down the road we've got Jerry Lee Lewis. He was part of that whole big group too.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So we're just kind of in the middle of everybody famous.
Yeah, I guess if you're within a good distance of Sun Studios, you probably have it's a hotbed for some major names there at the
we're about 3 hours. Well, 2 hours out of Memphis.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Well, that Superhero Day sounds fantastic. How many other groups do you happen to know? How many other groups are there? What types of other cosplay groups? You mentioned Harry Potter. Kind of give us a feel for what you can expect walking in there on that day.
So, of course we're news, but I've come to learn it's called the cosplay family. The convention circuit around here, the people who live around here, a lot of them from Memphis and like that. All of them, of course, Memphis has its own cosplay groups, go to the children's hospitals, things like that. Andrea and all that, she's wonderful. They all get contacted because we all go to the all conventions together. So it's just, hey, you mind doing this? And of course, all those people that I mentioned, they're doing it years before I come to be about.
Sure.
I'm relatively new to the convention and the cosplay scene in general as it is.
Yeah, that's, I guess I was as well before I became a Ghostbuster with Windy City. I had never gone to a convention. I've been to conventions, but they were work related. I had never been to, a comic convention or anything like Fan Expo before.
My first one was the 731's I guess official meetup for the first time. Yeah. That was my very first convention. Yeah.
And so what got you this cosplay wasn't something you grew up with or you weren't originally drawn to. What got you to pick up a khaki flight suit, start assembling some gear? What was the driver for you on that?
Okay. So, picture it. Selmer, 1993. actually was in a kindergarten class, my kindergarten class. I remember sitting we had two kindergarten classes that were connected by a doorway. Mm-hmm. I remember one afternoon hearing, Ecto-1 siren going off in the next room. And here comes four people in homemade costumes, had a little Slimer, a little paper mache Slimer hanging over his shoulder, homemade packs. And my world I was enthralled. Cause I was already a Ghostbuster fan at the time. And here I am at 40 years old. And from that day forward, I always said I wanted to be a Ghostbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am.
Yeah. And then I was born 83. So right around the same time, you were. So, I mean, was it the cartoon? Was that your initial introduction?
Yeah. The cartoon. And then the, second movie, I remember having the giant XL. It was like a foot and a half tall coloring book by like 2 foot wide when you opened it up. As, I remember spending all afternoon coloring in the pink slime running down the stairwells of the museum.
Yeah, Mom, I need another 64 pack of crayons to get this color pink.
Right.
Yeah, and you're going through the tan and the pink crayons at record rates with that coloring book.
Yeah,
but yeah, that was, you know, I have the cartoon and Ghostbusters 2. I have more confident memories with that one than I do of Ghostbusters 1. As far as
standing outside waiting to get into it. Yeah.
I remember that was my birthday party. The birthday party, 1989, was at the theater. That's awesome, and that's the kind of stuff. I'm glad that that's stuck with you. That this is a thing people can do, and this is
You mentioned that, and I've got to tell this story. I've thought about this since we first contacted. I have to get this story out. Second year at TupeloCon, which was this year, we had a pretty substantial sized area. We were just kind of mid con. You had some of the guests right across from us. It was a big open area, and towards the end of Sunday or towards the beginning of Sunday, we hear just this woman holler out, "You waited all weekend to have somebody to see you." And here she comes with this this little girl. She's 3 foot tall, maybe, and dressed as a Ghostbuster. And I see her walking over there, stop her mom in full stride and say something to her. I mean, she stops. Her mom tries to drag her. She says something to her before she walks on. So she comes over to us, and we have a junior Ghostbuster certificate that if you show up to one of these conventions as a kid, you get one of our 7-3 junior one Ghostbuster certificates. You get a picture with us holding it, presenting it to you and all that. As I was going over to get the little girl's name, I heard the mom talking to one of my other guys saying that she stopped me and said, "Mama, there's girls just like me."
Mm.
And I had to walk away because I hit a tear in my eye. I know that that little girl had the same experience as I had sitting in that classroom 40 years, or, you know, all them years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to see how much we actually affect the children that come up, to see them as, because that's what I tell my guys, that look, if we ever stop having fun, it's it. We're over. We're done.
Right.
We sell ourselves, we sell the brand, we sell the magic. It's what we do. We keep the magic alive. We keep the fun alive. Because the more fun we have, the more fun they have. The more fun they have, the more fun or the more donations we get. Absolutely. We become a draw to these conventions, and we go out there and we have fun. We just got a sponsor from Coke. Because one of my guys, Chris Malone, he works for Coca-Cola, and the public relations guy for the local Corinth Coca-Cola, they asked us to do a Halloween event where we handed out Cokes at it. And at the end of it, he goes, "Man, y'all are guys are just big kids yourselves, aren't you?" Yeah, that's kind of it. We're just a bunch of nerds trying to have fun and do a little good at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you touched on so much there, and I think you were way more succinct than I could have been as far as getting all those out. So I appreciate that answer, and you brought up a great point as far as, you know, an area I wasn't prepared for when I joined. I really didn't realize how many children still knew who the Ghostbusters were, and I was so surprised at my first few events. And probably I still am, is when a kid looks up and asks if you're a real Ghostbuster. Are you a real Ghostbuster? Yeah. And it's, you know, it's almost like the Santa Claus question. You have to be careful, you know, how you answer it. And everybody probably has a little bit of a different answer. But, you know, you feel like a real Ghostbuster in those moments. And as, you know, a kid that grew up like you, where, you know, I would have given anything to have, you know, a pack like like this. You know, I had my Kenners and all that, but it's you know, what we're able
sold
to
my
do now.
By now, if I could have,
yeah,
if I thought it would work, it would have happened. Yeah,
but I mean, I have memories of dreams, like an early memory of a dream as a kid of me having a real proton pack and running through my, you know, kindergarten or first grade, school. And also the fact that we're not all just a bunch of guys in the suits, that we have women that are part of the group and dressed up too. Because it is not uncommon to see, a little girl as, dressing up with it too, which, again, my sister I couldn't pay her to play Ghostbusters with me as a kid. So it was great to see. And we have some great representation in the Windy City Ghostbusters as far as, the 2016 movie as well. And there's a place for everybody in this community. And that's awesome. And I'm really glad that you got to experience a little bit of that.
My wife's a part of ours. She prefers to be Stay Puft, and to tell you the truth, she's become more of a mascot than anything. she's actually a bigger draw than we are, and right. We've got the cool equipment. I mean, Billy Young, my co-founder, the guy that sparked the idea for us to be a franchise. He's just built the dancing toaster that works off two key fobs.
Wow.
Four button key fobs. I'll keep one in my pocket and he'll keep one. So we just kind of press our pockets as we're talking to the group.
Yeah.
As we're talking to the children or the whoever's there at our table, mm-hmm. and he'll start dancing on them because we always have music.
Great.
Yeah. But she'll start moving and dancing. They'll go right away from it and right to her.
Yeah. So, yeah. Those are, and we have a Slimer in the group, but our biggies,
we're trying to get
big,
one.
Our big Stay Puft inflatables are, those bring in the traffic from all over the place. So having a Stay Puft is a great thing. So kudos to your wife for joining in on that. And, talk to me a little bit about, first of all, I can't get too far into this interview with you. If anyone has not seen the picture that Jason submitted to us to advertise his appearance today, It got everybody laughing on our side. A bit of a flash dance homage.
Comment.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that picture? And again, if you haven't seen it, Jason is in full Ghostbuster gear and doing a bit of an arch off a chair as slime is splashed all around him.
So that picture is a product of us grown children being bored at a convention and having a professional photographer buddy over there. So first, I've got to say this, that Huff Photo, if you don't know Huff Photo, go see him. He's been involved with Fashion Week now. He's been in Texas doing all that. And his big starting, I call it his starting point because that's how I knew him from, was cosplay photos at conventions. Is that somebody saw that. And a lady that's, I guess, really important in the fashion world in New York said, "Hey, I like this, how he does the, lights off screen and all that." And he went on to do that. So that's the awesome kind of talent he is. And I mean, he's just bigger and bigger as it goes along. So anyway, Huff Photo sets up and he does the cosplay photos for the conventions. And he's a big draw. Great guy. So we're sitting across from him, and we're at Haywood Con, by the way, and it was slow, I think, the second day, and I was just kind of leaned back in a folding chair and had my arms hanging back talking to my wife. And I looked at my wife, and I kind of arched up, and I had the Deadpool with the bullets falling down on him in my head, and I was like, what if we do a flash dance photo and we'll push you up like this and we'll drop slime on you? I was like, wait a minute. Let me go talk to Brian. So Brian Huff comes over here and he's like, oh, that's a great idea, but not you. And there it is. So that was a cold day because they wanted to, Billy was the one throwing slime on me. Uh-huh. And he wanted to practice first. Well, he only brought like 5 gallons of slime.
Only five gallons.
You'll be surprised how fast you go through some slime when you're throwing it at somebody. they wanted to hit me with water, and it was early May, so it was still cool around here. That was straight out the ground. I mean, we were over there at a faucet pouring water in a bucket. I'm having to go get my own switch. I've got this bucket of water. Just here, take it.
45-degree water.
But that was the brainchild of some pretty bored geeks. That's what that was. Yeah.
Well, it's great, and it definitely drew a lot of eyeballs when the advertisement went up on our social media.
We did that, and we sat on that photo for about 2 months because we had a event, the Rockabilly Festival down here, and we were going to raise for the actual home or the field office for Carl Perkins that day, not just the superhero day. Mm-hmm. And if we hit 300 donations, I got a public sliming. So we hit that. I got slimed, and the next day that went up as our banner for a while. So yeah,
it's fantastic.
That was great. It was comedic timing is what that was. Yeah.
Yeah. And the lighting is perfect. So again, if you have not seen it, go to social media, go to the 731 Ghostbusters page. You'll find it there, but
that whole thing was magic. Yeah. Yeah.
You're not losing. You're not going to be allowed to forget that one. So, you know, and I want to be mindful.
Oh,
go ahead.
We have stretch.
Oh, we have to stretch. Yep. We had a donation for Bob, a stretch. So.
Bob, my point for right. Because he cares about our well-being.
Popped both shoulders.
I hope I'm not sweaty.
Yeah, that's why I went black.
Oh, now you tell me. Okay, thanks.
But, you know, I want to be mindful of your time. I know we got a bit of a late start, so apologies to you and to the viewers. But, you know, as you look at 2025, you're wrapping up 2024. You know, what is the future for you? Do you have anything as far as, I know right now you're just trying to probably lay the track as the train's running down behind you a bit, but,
Building foundation. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is next? If to view next year as a success, what do you want to see from the group?
I don't know about success, but next year, if any indication of me and Billy talking yesterday, is it's a lot of marshmallow fluff in our future. we've started the thing that I think it's like $20 or $30 donut because we do donation levels, and we have like slimes that you can get in test tubes for $5, and you get our con exclusive photos. And if y'all haven't seen y'all thought the slime photo was nice, go check out 731 our 731 Ghostbusters Facebook group. See some of those photos, like the con exclusive. Or our last con exclusive. And yeah, I know when you see it, I know, when does the album drop? I got you. But, we do a lot with photos. We have our banner that's an Abbey Road photo. Yeah. So, yeah, go check those out. But yeah, I forgot where I was going. I'm sorry.
No, we're just thinking about next year. How's next year going to look like success for you?
The levels, the $10 get you the photos, so forth. So at $30, and I think like Chris wound up discounting it down to a $10 donation, you get to marshmallow fluff your Ghostbuster of choice.
and how much marshmallow fluff does that get you?
It's a paper plate full, so it's like a pie. Yeah, so yeah, they even put the little Ghostbuster no ghost on the bottom of the pie. So
that's fantastic.
Man, we have been fluffed like crazy. Myself, I guess I'm the favorite. I don't know. But yeah, I've gotten fluffed so much that it's chapped.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I left the go ahead.
Is it marshmallow fluff? Is it
no. Cream?
What are you
doing? Yeah, barbersol. Barbersol. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Can you imagine having that sugar on your face all day?
No. I can't. And then I'm thinking of you driving home and with that. So
well, it's fun because you get to do the little hello kind of.
Oh yeah,
you
know. The Mrs. Doubtfire so there.
But, it's a double gag for them, yeah.
And how do the suits hold up to the shaving cream and all the extra washings that you got to do with that? No issues there?
No. We wipe it off with, we've got a bunch of towels with us. So we try to get it off of us pretty quickly. Yeah.
Gotcha. And I asked just as there are people watching or listening as, and I know, I am often wondering, will I get this stain out of my Ghostbusters, you know, jumpsuit or not?
Yeah, well, I mean, really, does it matter? Really? I mean, because it just makes it look.
It shouldn't.
Yeah, you're on the job. Yeah.
Yeah. I think no one except me is thinking about how much I spent on the jumpsuit and not wanting to.
I'm too big for a jumpsuit, shooters. So mine's are overalls. I'm good on.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Yeah. No, I am just wanting to make sure that if I ever feel so bold that everything is washable on that. But that's a great idea, and I know we've tossed around in our group the idea of things like dunk tanks and all that, but the logistics of bringing a dunk tank to the two events, it gets a bit hairy.
Well, actually, I did see on Amazon they've got a backyard kind of dunk tank. It's not a dunk tank, but it's a small seat with a bucket above it, and the you throw it with a little paddle that tips the bucket, made from PVC. So that I did look at that a time or two for that live sliming, but we went with two buckets, a ladder, and a kiddie pool. That's where we went. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll let somebody else be the pioneer on that front, and I'll ride the coattails there. But, Jason, we did have somebody in the chat. They want to know, you know, Ghostbusters, you know, what's your favorite? We've got so many to pick from, five different Ghostbusters movies to pick from right now. Do you have a favorite?
Oh no, I'm a Ghostbuster fan, man. It doesn't matter. Extreme, real, female, Frozen, Afterlife. No, I'm a Ghostbuster fan. The comics.
It's got a Moogly. Yeah. You're okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as it, as long as it is the Ghostbusters. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like the original British Ghostbusters, not so much, but as long as it's our core guys, yeah. Or well, yeah. Our core of what we know as Ghostbusters. Yeah.
Sure. So no Tracy Gorilla for you.
It has its moments. I mean,
perfect. Well, Transformers, man, I hope that, that answered your question. I know mine, I answered a few weeks ago. I'm always bouncing around my favorite, but at the moment, I spend more time if I need something on the background just to kind of settle my nerves. I'm throwing on two more often than not to kind of have. I work from home, so I get to throw something on the TV in the background, which is nice. But
For background noise, it's the real Ghostbusters. You can catch every one of them on YouTube for free. So,
oh, that's right. Yeah, YouTube does have a bunch on there. James, where are you at on that these days? Do you have a?
My favorite is Ghostbusters 2, but for background noise, I would just go real Ghostbusters, throw it on Flex, and let it run.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Now, I do have to say, I am currently introducing my wife to the Extreme Ghostbusters series. She's really enjoying that one.
And where are you finding? Is that on YouTube, or did you have to buy the...
The YouTube.
Okay. I've got to dig into that a little bit more.
It's on some service, but I can't remember what it is now. Tubi?
It might be Tubi. They've got everything there now.
Yeah, I did see it on one of those services. Yeah,
I'll have to look because I need to dig back into that at some point because I didn't catch the full run. But so Transformers man, thank you for the question. Hope we answered that for you there. And you know, Jason, you know, if as far as you yourself, you know, we talked about the team and what you're going to see as, you know, for success. What do you want to see out of yourself as you grow for the future with the 731 Ghostbusters? You intend to stay kind of in the leadership role? Do you want to, you know, grow a replacement so you can start to breathe a little bit again?
Oh no, we're new, so I'm foot on the pedal. As far as the leadership role, we kind of have, I asked the guys what they want to do. They introduced me as the leader and I'm like, no, I'm just the mouthpiece. That's all I am. I wanted to start the group and be like, look guys, you do have a say, you do matter. It's your opinion too. It's your group. You're doing this work with me. So, I don't know. I just have a problem with being called the leader of the group, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, de facto.
Mostly. Well, yeah, mostly because I've got a big ego and I don't want it to get any bigger. So, but no, I see foot on the pedal. I don't have any plans to replace or make a replacement. Now down the line, when you get to, like you said, 10 years on us, we'll talk again about that. But, right now, no, I'm living the dream right now.
Perfect. And that's what we love to hear. It's great to see new groups popping up, new groups growing and doing so well. It's a great time to be a Ghostbusters fan and, an even better time to be a Ghostbuster, something I never thought would be a possibility, you know, growing up. Right. So, you know, Jason, I want to give you some time here. We're going to have to run in a few minutes, but kind of plug, you've got a couple, two or three parades here to end the year. Can you tell us, you know, where people can find you and kind of help bring some attention to the cause?
Okay. Yeah. Our major, where you can find us, is 731 Ghostbusters Facebook group. It's the one that actually has the 731. It's not spelled out. That one is for me to interact with other groups. But that's where you can really keep, track of what we're doing and what's going on with us. We've got a great, TikTok page. You'll see a lot of our videos, commercials, that kind of stuff. And my wife puts that together and it's just freaking awesome. We're just started a, Instagram page, I think a couple of weeks ago. So we're still building that. But yeah, we've got three parades coming up. We've got the Selmer parade on December 1st, the Savannah parade on December 2nd, and the Corinth, Mississippi parade on December 7th. After that, like I said, I think we're off until about March. And that's when we hit March Madness. Now, that's not to say if another convention comes up or another opportunity for an event comes up that we won't go do it. But sure. Again, right now we're building everything.
That's what the calendar is looking like at the moment.
That would be anything.
Yeah. Sure. Absolutely.
And March Madness hits with, I think, March Madness, I think starts back with Haywood Con. Am I right? Yeah. Haywood Con. And then it just cascades to there up until the, our charity event. Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Well,
our core charity event. Yeah.
What a great time to be a part of the 731 Ghostbusters. And, if anyone is interested in joining up, reach out to Jason on Facebook, reach out to the 731 Ghostbusters Facebook page, and, you'll have some chances to meet face to face at these, parades here. So hope your boots are comfy, Jason, and, you got a lot of walking in your future.
There's just some old flat military boots. And that's all they are.
You'll just get some ice ready for them for your feet when you get home. And,
yeah, I know. Once I get home, it's milling time. Yeah,
well, I know. Yeah, I have to wrap my feet like I'm running a marathon with my boots.
But. Yeah, that last podcast or the last week you were talking about it, and you said it's a lot different than standing for 9 hours. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 please, God, no. Yeah.
Well, it's a different ball game, but I'm excited for you all. And I want to thank you for coming on the show today. Just a quick reminder, Windy City Ghostbusters, we have a few events here at the end of the year. We've got our Thanksgiving Day Parade with the City of Chicago. That's the 28th. The St. Charles Electric Christmas Parade is November 30th. The Blue Island Christmas Parade is December 7th. And we have our Toy Drive with Rocket Pro Wrestling as well on December 7th. And the final event, official event of the year for Windy City Ghostbusters is the Wonderverse Brunch with Santa Claus. Bring a toy or a $10 donation, and you can get your picture taken with Ghostbusters and Santa Claus. That is December 15th. So busy end of the year for the Ghostbusters. And also, real quick, Bob wants to make sure everyone knows that in the course of our show, we have officially gotten the Why We Bust show. It's officially now the Why We Bust podcast, and you can find us on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. And Jason will be putting this episode up there shortly, so let everybody know. Very exciting, and there's been a lot of legwork in the background with Bob and the folks over at Memoriam Development in getting our show out onto new platforms and out to new audiences. So we are very excited for that. Thank you to everyone for tuning in today. Thank you again to Jason. Norm, thank you so much for your time. And before we go, I thought we'd have a few more hydrates, but I was so proud to find this beer here for the Thanksgiving show. It's the Between Two Pillows IPA. So it's,
oh wow,
and it is delicious. It's from Solemn Oath, and I got it over at Benny's here in Chicago, but the Between Two Pillows is delicious, and I've had that since last year. I've been saving it to have it for this upcoming Thanksgiving. So if we had another hydrate, I was going to make sure that I got that plug in, but I didn't want to not give it a free plug. If anybody can see that here, there's time to get it still before the end of the Thanksgiving season. But that's it for us here at the Why We Bust show, the Why We Bust podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening, and have a great Thanksgiving holiday, and go do something good in the world. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Why We Bust. See you guys next time when we look at another Ghostbuster and find out what makes them tick.
Memoriam Development. Memoriam Development.